can't stop the signal.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of The Signal. I've brought a very special guest out of the nest, out of the cave, into this episode. Bird, thanks for joining me today.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
You want to know what I'm drinking today?
Yeah.
So today, April 9th, is International Gin and Tonic Day.
Cool.
I'm a huge fan of gin and tonic. Botanist is a great brand. Everybody go buy that. But I decided that I wanted some breakfast today. So I got a bagel. Rarely eat breakfast. I got a bagel, cream cheese. And in front of me is a Sunny D with gin in it. So I'm having a gin and juice at 1:50 p.m. on a Friday.
I've actually got you beat because I poured myself a little Manhattan and it's only 12:50 p.m.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Over here. Fine. So the structure of this episode actually may be a little bit of foreshadowing of something that we've talked about doing, Bird, on the Timeline Earth more proper show, particularly on Patreon, where we kind of had been tossing around the idea of getting on the horn and publishing an episode on breaking news or semi-breaking news. And I had another episode lined up of The Signal today, but I decided that the executive orders with Joe Biden and all of that kind of took precedence. So I wanted to do it. I don't know exactly how long this is going to be, and maybe pending consensus from the other Timeline Earth folks, I may release another episode in the more traditional format.
Oh my God, you're out of control with this.
I know. Yeah, well, we'll talk about it off air. So for those listening, yesterday, and we always joke about recording on Wednesdays, we are literally recording like minutes before.
This is real. Yeah, we really
this
are.
This is real. Yeah. It is as close like to live as you can
when
get.
When I said it was April 9th at 1:50, it was
it
not
literally
a joke.
Is. I want to give all the normal disclaimers I do about politics, that I don't, I'm not a political guru. That's part of why I brought Bird on. As far as like the legal process or precedent or anything like that goes, I'm an idiot. I do not know much other than what I read, but I don't proclaim to have any expertise in it. We just wanted to kind of cover it and give a rundown. The executive orders, I guess, were issued yesterday from Biden, but I couldn't find them. Have you actually found the verbiage, the actual PDF documents of the executive orders?
No, but I can. I'm sure I can. I'll look now.
I looked for a long time and could not find them.
Really? Okay. Hmm.
Yes. The second portion of this episode, I want to bounce some things off of you, Bird. The first portion, real quick, is going to be regarding 3D
I got him.
Printing. Oh, you got them? You got the actual documents?
Yeah.
Can you drop those to me?
Yeah, I got to find exactly which ones. But so just so everybody knows, if you're ever curious, federalregister.gov.
That's where I was
at. /presidentialgovernment/executive orders. You are right, Karkan, but I spoke too soon. The last one that they have
April
is from
1st,
April 1st.
The 3rd. Yeah.
So they haven't published yet.
They haven't published them yet, which is insane to me. I mean, he came out and talked about them. So I want to get into that too. But first, before we do, a little bit of news on my end. I had, every time I went and did laundry, I had a box with a 3D printer disassembled inside, staring at me as I walked in and out of the laundry room. And I finally got it set up, or almost all the way set up. And I exclusively used Lee's guide at NBlock Press. So I wanted to give a couple thoughts on the build. It's actually a very, I would dedicate about an afternoon to it. It's a very pleasurable build. Like it's for me, that was it's a right size kind of like afternoon project or something, you know, to that degree. It was fairly straightforward, fairly easy. I was very, very happy to follow Lee's guide. And that's at, I think nblockpress.com/the guide. I'll put the exact link in the show notes. But it includes a video, it includes some tips. And it also includes some upgrades that are perfect to do right away before you dig in. So I bought the 3D printer, the Creality Ender 3, and I bought all of the suggested upgrades at the same time. So I had a number of boxes staring at me every time I went into the laundry room. and so I made those upgrades. And then there are a number of upgrades that you can make by actually 3D printing them once the printer is functional. So I'll be taking everyone through that. But I do want to give my remarks on the build. Again, it's not terribly challenging. It's more than putting together, you know, a nightstand or something like that. But it's a fairly straightforward process. It's fairly easy. One thing I would note, I think I was texting Howie at Lines of Liberty about it, is that if you have kind of bigger hands, there are a couple portions where it's a little bit difficult, because you need some dexterity. So if you've got a goth GF in the mix, maybe bring her into that. Let me see. Well, anyway, I'll be publishing.
How long did that build take you? The whole thing.
So I was kind of sending emails in between and taking it chunk by chunk, but it was probably
work time.
I don't know, 2 hours maybe.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, maybe three, but I mean, somewhere around there. I didn't rush it. It's one of those projects that you don't want to rush because you don't want to have to. I had one, like everybody has those projects where you rush through one portion and then you get to the second portion building on the first portion and you're like, oh, I screwed something up, and you have to go back and redo stuff. I only had to do that once and it wasn't too bad. So it was on one of the vertical struts. Yeah, it was overall, I would say, particularly if you use that the video guide and the instructions included, it's fairly straightforward. And if you take your time and think about what you do before you do it, you shouldn't really run into too many issues. And then I'm sure there's plenty of people on Lee's forum that can help out if you get stuck, or maybe Lee himself. So, yeah, I mean, I think that checks the box for my usual episode types. But the reason that I wanted to do this episode is because some of these executive orders from Biden are directly related to the things that people are doing with 3D printers. And that's why I felt that this was prescient enough to forego an episode that I had planned that I'll actually try to improve upon before releasing it, and dive into a little bit of this and what it means, and maybe give you a little foreshadowing of what might be down the pike for Timeline Earth with regards to our Patreon episodes. So yesterday, Joe Biden announced, well, I guess, Bird, you see what I mean now. He announced that executive orders were coming, but I'm not really sure. Before I dive into this, I have heard that Lee is doing a dedicated episode to this. Go listen to that. If you're, and especially if you're doing stuff that may be borderline legal or illegal, you probably want somebody who actually knows what they're talking about to give you some guidance on it. So go listen to him, and then also subscribe to his newsletter, because that's just outstanding. Comes into my inbox and I read it every Saturday morning sipping my coffee. So there is no executive order that I can find yet, and Joe Biden came out yesterday and announced that these executive orders were pending. I'm going to take you through a couple of things that came out, not just with the executive orders but with other announcements that he made. And then, Bird, we can talk about it, and we can talk about how it relates to the political landscape in this country. So first is David Chipman.
Before you start, let me just prepare you. So that's a good one. We should start with David Chipman, by the way. But we'll save ghost guns for last, because I got the New York Times article about it. And the way that I look at the New York Times article is, if the White House hasn't said it, but the New York Times has, it's probably the same thing being said. So we'll do that one last, because I'll read parts of the New York Times article, which not everybody will have access to because they don't want to pay for it. Good stuff. Chipman.
So David Chipman is being announced as the head of the ATF. This man has made very alarming statements, many of which are just provably false about the Waco massacre. And he's certainly a big proponent of firearm regulation. I do not know if he was actually a part of the team that laid siege to Waco. Maybe he was. Do you know? Do you remember if he was?
I think he was. He is credited with having been a part of the operation.
Okay.
I don't know if he was on the ground.
On the ground or not. I saw during this is, a bad dude, basically, in our eyes. So I won't.
Bad dude.
He's a bad dude.
He was a bad dude.
I'll spare you the theatrics on all of that. But I did see that he was doing a Reddit AMA a couple of years ago. And I'm not sure if you saw this, but he was claiming that the insurgents or the Waco folks shot down two helicopters, which I don't think. which I don't think happened. He said that they were able to shoot down two Army National Guard or Texas National Guard helicopters. And I don't think they shot down any helicopters. So
it's just
a false statement, like very provably. So.
You know, what's really good is that like even media left hates the ATF. And so like they're not on this guy's side at all. So you can actually find like facts about things that he said.
Right. Exactly. So bizarre. Yeah. That's coming down the pipe. I think the ATF has really struggled for a permanent leader. And I think they're hoping to find that in David Chipman.
Something like 15 years. Mm. Yeah. They've had a rotating cast of, talking heads for like 15 years.
Right. So yeah, it's not great. okay. So here's another, article. So again, apparently there are 6 executive orders coming.
Yes.
All I can find are just bits in you know, news articles describing maybe what they will do. And,
Did you check out the White House release?
No, I didn't. I should have.
Okay, I'll send that to you because they bold out what the actual executive order's intentions are. It's in the Zencaster chat.
Oh,
and I guess this is the article. Like, if you want to know what they're saying before they actually release the stuff, I guess you go to the White House first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all conveniently in bold, you can see.
Okay, yeah.
Chipman is all the way at the bottom. We just covered that one. The top one is the ghost gun one. So maybe the second one.
Okay, yeah. No, I think I've got... I'm looking at the bolds. The bolds all are appearing in the news articles, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or pretty much. The first... Well, we'll skip the ghost guns for now. One of the items is the Justice Department will propose a rule within 60 days that makes clear a device marketed as a stabilizing brace, which effectively allows a pistol to operate as a short-barreled rifle, is subject to the requirements of the NFA, the National Firearms Act. So that's one of the things that's coming down. That's a pretty big statement.
I don't know anything about that, obviously. What is the deal there? Do people use those a lot?
Yes, they're very, very popular, especially for home defense. So basically, particularly like let's take an AR-15. If you have a barrel shorter than I believe 16 inches, so something short enough to very effectively move around your house, and protect it, that is actually categorized as a pistol and not as a rifle. And so you cannot put a rifle stock on it. That's actually that would be, you know, whatever their 10 years in prison, $10,000 fine type deal. If you at any time put a rifle stock on on what is categorized as a pistol. Yeah.
Oh.
It's categorized as an SBR, a short barreled rifle. That's a no-no. So what happened was I guess the ATF issued guidance on it because what was happening was there were a lot of handicapped people who were trying to shoot pistols, like legit pistols, and couldn't
like
stabilize.
Like libertarian handicapped or like...
probably both, Bird. that were trying to shoot pistols, but they couldn't because of some handicap, whether they were had a malfunctioning...
Libertarian or they had no hands, either one.
Exactly. So what they came up with was...
The two types of listeners we have.
Yeah, exactly. They just shut it off. So they came up with this. It's like, basically it's an excuse to not be a stock. It's a brace that you would theoretically, it extends back off of the weapon. And then, there's a strap that you can strap to your forearm, I guess, and use it. So you can use it one handed if you're handicapped. But then obviously the back of it, you can use as a buttstock.
I see.
So, yeah.
So they're popular.
Incredibly popular. I mean, I think that probably universally you'll hear that some sort of AR-15 or some sort of rifle, like, and very popularly an AR-15 and very, very popularly in a pistol format are the home defense weapon.
Do you mention the AR-15 just because it's an easy thing to use, or is it a way to attack the AR-15?
It's a way to attack both. it's the AR-15. I think by and large,
I know they hate the AR-15.
Sure, like, and there's a reason. It's like the most popular rifle in America. Like that is the rifle. So so everybody
but
has.
You
don't
have to like saw off a tiny little piece of plastic in order to get it to go pew 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 really fast. I'm pretty sure. Know for sure,
you can. There is a ability to turn it into an automatic weapon fairly easily.
Someone, not any of us, would do something like that.
No. So getting back to it, this is a AR pistol with a stabilizing brace to avoid the NFA violation is like the popular home defense weapon, I would say. Or maybe not the popular, but probably widely regarded among the people who know best as the best home defense weapon. It's small, easy to maneuver, and has the power of, you know, the full AR-15 plus the 30 round mag, more, you know, if so desired, but 30 is fairly standard. So that's a really, really big thing because that popular phrase, with a stroke of the pen, they're going to make criminals overnight.
Yep.
That will be a lot of criminals. So, crazy. Another portion, the president also directed the Justice Department to publish quote unquote red flag legislation for states that want to enact such laws. I don't want to spend the whole time.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't, except that, it probably doesn't mean anything. And
it's the same thing as the COVID stuff. It's just, right. You know, they're going to do it anyway. States are going to do it anyway.
So it'll just make it easier because they'll have a boilerplate template and, So, let's see. The other issues will probably be a pain in the ass, but they're a little bit less relevant, I think. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Just
there's some trafficking stuff. There's some community.
Yeah.
Empowerment
it's a
stuff.
Lot of funding going to places. Yeah.
Which
what is
no doubt will be a pain
violence. America Jobs Plan. They're going to put $5 billion towards community violence intervention programs. Mm-hmm. What else? Five federal agencies making changes to 26 different programs regarding vital support in communities where violence happens a lot. Okay, whatever. I mean, that's oddly, I don't even know how or why that's the White House's job at all. But, whatever. And then Justice Department will issue an annual report on firearms trafficking. That sounds fun. Another piece of paper.
Yep. Yeah, so there's really not a whole lot of stuff that I want to spend a whole lot of time on there before we get to the ghost gun rule.
Yeah.
And so this is the Justice Department would propose a rule within 30 days to close a regulatory loophole that allows ghost guns, which lack serial numbers, to be purchased without a background check. So I'm unclear on what this is really doing. And maybe it's because I haven't read into it enough. Well, they haven't published the damn EOs yet. So that's a portion of it. But, there's two things that I think they could be referring to. Lee probably knows. According to the ATF's guidance, the regulated portion of, like, let's say a rifle is called a lower receiver. It's one component of the rifle. Like, you can't regulate the entire thing because there's like springs and bolts and, you know, so on and so forth. You can't just serialize everything and call it. So, they regulate what's called the lower receiver. And for that, you need to have a background check to purchase, except if you're going to do it yourself. And this is actually not a fringe thing. This is like an American tradition and a lot of people do it. Basically what happened was the gun community, I guess, came to the ATF and said, okay, well, when is a receiver a receiver? You know, is it a receiver when it's a rectangular block of aluminum? I said, well, no. Okay. Well, what if I chip this out of it? Well, no, it's still not a receiver. Yeah. What if it, you know, and they did this and they, you're right. And then, and so what the ATF came out and said was at 80% completion, the lower receiver is then that's the limit at which it can still be considered a block of metal versus an official lower receiver that needs a serial number and a background. Yeah. So you hear people talking about 80% lowers and that's, so you can purchase those. You can go online with no background check, go purchase those, and then you just mill them in, you know, if you buy a metal one, you finish it. And that's totally legal. And there, there's a big community behind that, is homemaking firearms. So I'm unclear as to whether they're referring to that, trying to close that loophole, or if they're trying to close the, in other words, making it illegal to sell 80% lowers to people, or if they are talking about 3D printed ghost guns, selling a complete 3D printed ghost gun to someone else, which I thought was already illegal. So I'm very curious, or if they're trying to kill two birds with one stone, but they're two very different things, because at no point does a 3D printed lower receiver hit 80% completion, like in the traditional legal sense. It, you know, it's printed or it's not. So yeah, this is a weird one, and I'd be really curious to read the literature on exactly what they're aiming for here. If they, and frankly, I'm really hoping that this is a crackdown on selling 3D printed ghost guns, because as far as I know, that was already illegal, and who cares? What I don't want them to do is crack down on the 80% lower market, because that sucks. And just makes, you know, life more difficult for people who home make their metal firearms. So that's what's going on there. We'll see. I guess the Justice Department has 30 days and to issue a rule. Now, is there a chance that a lot of this just gets struck down in court?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, from and I was on mute when I said it, which is why I was like, oh, I thought I said something interesting. He just ignored me. No, from what I understand, the executive order seems to indicate that he is going, that he's telling the ATF that within 60 days, no, 30 days actually, they have to change legislation, or they have to propose changes to the way that they interpret legislation. That's specifically from what I understand what Biden wants, because Biden can't change the law, can only approve it or veto it. And the ATF obviously can't change the law at all. It can only interpret the law and then rely on the courts not to, you know, penalize them if they act up. So that being said, it brings me to one quick point and one slightly longer point, which is, as far as I understand it, there's, I don't know how to explain this. They've been taking some pretty big losses. The ATF, the anti-gun movement recently, the biggest one. Okay. It's really one point. That was the short point. Here's the longer point. Governor Bill Lee in Tennessee. Did you hear about that?
No.
He signs a bill into law that was 18 hours ago. In fact, it was yesterday, that allowed for permitless carry.
Oh yes.
In Tennessee.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Open just... to, anyone over the age of 21 and, any military members, who are at least 18, you can have a
constitutional
permitless gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constitutional carry. So that, I guess my longer point was, that pivots us from the very little we know about the ghost gun legislation to the, I guess, the part that you brought me on for, which is, you're starting to really see the clash. In the courts, you're getting DeSantis in an unrelated to guns. DeSantis is suing the federal government.
Yep.
You have, not just Governor Bill Lee, but, and I can't recall who the other governor was, but there's been a few moves in several states that have really expanded people's constitutional rights to carry. So it's very interesting. I think you're definitely starting to see a schism happen. And the schism is actually centered around the growing evidence that the federal government has no power at all once the states aren't willing to cooperate anymore.
Right.
And DeSantis has figured that out. And I think if they try and pass effective legislation, or if you start seeing, like, if you see one Waco incident, it's all going to shit and the states are pulling out of it, because that's not happening again. People are too sore about things like that. So you're starting to really, you see it too, I'm sure, that there's a real intellectual divide starting to open up, where people are going, yeah, we can control the law too. So we're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah. And I actually proposed this on. So first of all, just to cover a couple of the bills, Arizona came out and said, in so many words that we are reaffirming the right of, or the Second Amendment here in the state of Arizona. I think what they did was they pulled all funding and disallowed any local or state law enforcement from cooperating with federal agents on enforcement of any gun laws outside of their interpretation of the Second Amendment.
Now that's giant.
Potentially because
that was literally what won in New York, where I am now, finally legalized weed. Literally how it happened.
Exactly. And so, and I proposed this on Twitter, and I worded it poorly, and that was my fault. But I was asking, what does this actually open up the door for Arizona to reinterpret the Second Amendment retroactively with respect to, let's say, short-barreled rifles or machine guns or grenades or things like that that are now technically restricted under the NFA of 1934 or whenever it was. But like, what is Arizona really saying? And could they just be like, yeah, those don't apply anymore? And my question wasn't so much could they legally, because that doesn't really matter. What matters is
it can do whatever it wants.
Kind of, yeah. And it's like what matters is what people are willing to do. And that's where we get into this Cold War discussion, where if Arizona says, okay, we're restricting all funding and for any federal programs to do this, and then we're also going to disallow any of our state and local law enforcement officials to help you with it. Sure. Can the ATF come in and raid? Yeah, absolutely. Will they become tired of that? Do they have enough boots on the ground to do that? Do they have enough social capital to do that? Political capital? No, I don't think so. And if they then take what I would consider would be like the nuclear option, where the United States federal government just says, okay, we're cutting all your funding. Well, I think at that point, the die is cast. You know, if the federal government moves to do something like that, I think you see a lot of other states eyeballing which side of the fence they want to be on.
That's like if you're the mob boss and you whack a made guy, everybody else is going, really? Are we not protected either anymore? Right. Like, you're just going to do whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And so assuming they don't go nuclear option there, it's just going to be really fascinating to watch this stuff play out. I hope it plays out peacefully. And I, as I've alluded to in previous episodes, I actually think it will.
I think we're in perpetuity here. I think because of the way that this system is designed, we're sitting in perpetuity. This is just going to be, I think they'll pass a law. But there's enough just kind of general support in the country where several states will harbor anybody, or even do anything, or, you know what I mean? This is like Europe trying to negotiate any number of things. Ultimately, it's like they don't have to. Poland can have one set of laws and Germany can have another. And the only thing that really is between the two of them is that you can cross the state lines. I think you're going to see a lot more of a union start to grow instead of a United States, you know?
And if you look at what happened during COVID, where in the early days, in the early summer, late spring last year, where there were regions talking about separating off.
Governors and stuff. Yeah. We're talking about that.
And there is this growing sentiment, and you're seeing, if you track, I mean, DeSantis has seemingly been at the bleeding edge of this every single time. DeSantis does something, his state cheers for him, and then all the other Republican governors across the South, you know, all the way out to Arizona, are like, oh, okay, you like that. That's what you like? Okay, we're doing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Abbott in Texas has been a poster child of that. I wish he was bleeding edge like DeSantis for some of this stuff, but like, he just sees that people like it, and then he just does it. And he's already talking about getting a bill on his desk to sign that is identical to the Arizona bill. And I think that, you know, I don't know if anybody's heard, but guns are very popular in Texas. So I think that, he's going to do nothing but accumulate political clout for actions like that. And it's like, I hate the government and I don't like Abbott. But insofar as we can put public pressure on them to do stuff that we like, you know, that's pretty cool.
Totally.
And you know, there is some degree that federalism can help us out, and hopefully having these states kind of band together and say, look, man, we're not, the NFA, that's not really going to apply here anymore. But that's a serious issue. That's way more serious than weed. You know, and that's the last time we really actually, well, maybe it's not the first time. I don't really, it's the first time in my lifetime that that sort of thing happened, as far as I know, is when Colorado just kind of said, yeah, we're restricting all funding, law enforcement, we're legalizing it, and that's just it. And you know, I was there, I was living there at the time, and I remember there were still raids. Pot shops got raided in the first few months, maybe up to a year. I don't really remember.
But there now.
No, because it's just, you can't.
There's no infrastructure.
And there's no will to do it. The DEA cannot go into Colorado and raid a pot shop today. Like, they just can't do it.
Yeah. How many people working in the DEA today grew up where pot was a normal thing? Like, it's right. Yeah, it's weird.
So you know, you just run out of political willpower to do stuff like this. And particularly now with, you know, the Biden administration, I mean, the country, during the Trump administration, people used to shout, you know, the country's so divided, country's so divided. Dude, today is it's not even close. It's crazy. There's people that are just flouting historic legislation, you know, in their face. And I think that you're going to see more of that, where this Cold War starts to solidify, where it's kind of funny, because it's once again, it's going to come down to, it looks like, northern states and southern states, plus maybe the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's super weird.
It's weird, interesting, man. When you were talking about DeSantis and then Greg Abbott being a follower to what DeSantis does, because he sees that people like it.
Yeah.
I think somewhere in there, I'm not articulate enough to put it together, but somewhere in there is the formula that should tell you what's going on in America. And you can see it quite literally in population numbers and how they're shifting. That I don't think there was ever potential for a hot war to break out in 2021 in the United States in a civil sense. It's just not very reasonable. Logistically, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
But I didn't even think about it. But now that you're illustrating, you know, DeSantis and then Abbott making the good moves based on one another, based on DeSantis leading the way, plus population numbers moving to different, lots of people are moving. I mean, there's
that's the lefties, other thing too.
Yeah, lots of people, lefties are moving down to Texas, and all of the disaffected East Coasters whose grandparents died are all moving to Florida. And so the balance of power is, first of all, clearly shifting farther south in every respect. And then you have like these havens that are starting to pop up, where a person will make a decision to move based on one or two pieces of legislation now. Mm-hmm. And which is, to me, a good thing, because it allows, at least in some sense, for some diversification of where you can live in this country. Because the more states that decide, hey, we're Utah, you know, we're going to keep our Mormon laws. If you don't like that, you can move. Now, I'm not saying that in the, like, if you don't like that, go to a forest.
Yeah, love it or leave it or whatever,
But if there's the option for a genuine constitutional carry state, not that doesn't ask any questions, why wouldn't you want to move there? Why are you staying for any other reason than you have to? You know what I mean? There's a big shift coming, an incentivized shift for people to start selecting places that they want to live in that equal the ideology that they have, which is a political solution, not a political problem.
Mm-hmm. And to add, for sure, it's the embodiment of the original idea of the 50 laboratories of invention. Idea.
Right.
The more interesting thing is that when things come to a head, and I'm not saying that as a violent head, but you know, if nuclear option against Arizona, for example, and the regionalization of things after that, you know, it's never going to be one thing. It's going to be a culmination of things. Some that seem small at the time. But one thing, when you're talking about moving, what's interesting is how many people who used to work in an office and be tied there because of COVID, the very thing that they were trying to leverage for more centralized power, now work from home and don't have to live in states that they don't want to anymore. And that is going to accelerate. And you already see it. You already see it in things like tech, and film. And one of those is certainly California to Texas. I mean, Austin is becoming in some small sense, a new Silicon Valley. And people don't have to deal with California anymore. If they don't want to, they can move to a, maybe not identical climate, but a fairly similar in terms of not really having a winter climate. That's plenty beautiful, plenty of stuff to do. Awesome people. And still be connected to the tech world and not have to pay $5,000 a month for an apartment.
Didn't even think about that, but that's a great point. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Psychological thing. You got to have your food and your shelter before you can think about love and a family and like a interesting time preference thing. Actually, that's kind of now if we've eliminated the need to live where you earn, then probably the next step up is to live where you like. And that's got to be a better option. Because if people have to live somewhere, then their politics, they have to negotiate with one another. They don't have to negotiate if they all believe the same thing and get to live in the same place because their jobs are all online. Like, I'm sure any lib or conservative who works in, like, data coding for nursing, right, is still going to work as a data coder in nursing if they're working from one state where all the libs are, but for another state where all the cons are. They're still going to work. They don't care that much. They want the money. But what they care about is not at the end of the day having to walk into a restaurant and be confronted with a bathroom sign that they don't like.
That's
really interesting that you bring that up. I never thought about that. But the WeWorkization of America might actually be a better thing than I thought.
Yeah, it definitely has that potential. Now, here, I'm going to add another layer to it. And I guess we're kind of straying away from the ultimate. No, it's still very pertinent. The inability for people in my generation to buy housing.
The statistics are coming out about that. Everybody needs to look those up. They are stunning. It's crazy how hard it is to get a house.
I haven't looked at the statistics like expressly, but being someone who was born in 1988 and has a lot of friends, that there's an alarming number of people that simply never bought a house because whether you believe that homeownership is a good thing or bad thing is kind of irrelevant for this exercise. What I'm saying is that they were essentially fiscally barred from buying a house, because of central bank policies and things like that. A gigantic recession that we came out either of high school or college into. So those people are mobile. So you have an entire generation of incredibly mobile people who literally are just paying rent and can leave on a dime. Mm-hmm. And the WeWorkization of the country. And now you see that being reflected in these massive immigration numbers into Texas from these blue states. And there are some states that are just outright losing population, which is pretty incredible to not even be able to keep up your population with birth rates in the state. Just truly
during a pandemic when birth rates are going up, by the way,
truly alarming stuff. So all of this is going to feed into the powder keg, that I hope doesn't blow violently, but may certainly come to a head in some sort of regionalization or refederalization of the country. But things like what Joe Biden is doing, both with COVID, although I wouldn't say that's Joe Biden necessarily, the health czars and Trump, frankly, and then add that to executive orders on guns, maybe the biggest hot button issue in this country, right after you lock people in their houses for a year, just totally insane. Totally insane.
Yeah, a lot of lack of patience.
People are just going to get really frustrated with that. And all you need is one catalyzing dude. And apparently that's Ron DeSantis to stick his neck out and everybody else realize, it's okay if we do this. It's okay if we stick our neck out. Nothing really bad happens. In fact, our people love us more. And now maybe something bad will happen down the road. But I mean, certainly in some sense, I don't know if there's been a better year for gun laws in particular states. Like if you live in the South, I'm not sure if there's been a better year for gun laws since the assault weapons ban, sunsetted in 2004.
Probably not, man.
You have states reaffirming the Second Amendment, and maybe that doesn't do anything technically, but again, it's all kind of soft movement or tactical movements. And then you have, people passing constitutional carry, which is fantastic.
Dude, I never thought about state nullification, but that's a really interesting, this is probably a really good thing that there's going to come a time. If you think about it politically, right, that for a while it seemed like, at least evidently, that the federal government seemed to have the hegemony over the country as a political institution. And there is, I don't know if that's changed yet. Clearly for Ron DeSantis, it's changed. I don't know if that's changed on the large yet. But even under Trump, states didn't seem to be as defiant as they're starting to be very quickly now, which kind of makes sense because it's almost always seems like it's the Republicans who kick stuff off. Like they're the ones who are like, not anymore. It seems like that's happened a lot recently. So it's weird to see that they're all starting to reject the federal government. And like you said, federal government at some point is going to have to, since if it wants to increase its hegemony again, is going to have to come to the bargaining table. Yeah. And they're going to have to kind of cede some power somewhere a little bit. And that is good. And that is what we want if we are either libertarians or anarchists. We want a federal government to be very weak because it is a bigger government. So yeah. I think that could be good. I don't know. I'm optimistic about it.
To your point, I mean, to your earlier point, can you imagine passing an assault weapons ban today?
No, nobody would. There would be a non-compliance issue.
Right. I think that that's a good question to ask to when you're wondering, hey, how is the power structure between the federal government and the states different today than it was in 1994, but also let's say 2003, because hey, the assault weapons ban was still in place.
And you have a Republican Supreme Court that is staying around for a while.
Right. Yeah. I guess
by the way, which is also pretty important if you're talking about gun issues. The majority of that court is originalist interpretation. So I mean, you're good there too. What I'm concerned about, to be honest with you, is which kind of the thing that we always figured was there may be a federal government from the legislative point of view might be weakening. But at the same time, like you had said, there were raids. Even after Colorado said weed's legal, the federal government was still doing raids. Mm-hmm. And for guns, I think there's a lot more oomph behind that than there was for pot shops. Like, I mean, you absolutely even agreed with that.
100%.
So the bigger issue that it seems like people are going to have now, wherever they decide to move, is that there are, I guess you can't call them clandestine, but there are organizations that are, they're like small police units that roam around the country. And if you happen to be in their way, they will cause you a problem, which is a very like odd view of America, that you live in a safe place that agrees with you, but that there's this roving band of bad guys
who bizarre.
If they decide to fuck with you, no one can protect you. And that's going to continue. So that's when I say in perpetuity, it seems like at least right now, the issue from a libertarian standpoint and an anarchist standpoint, from where, at least from where I'm standing, is red flag. And the guy, as in Joe Biden, seems like his job is he really wants to revitalize the culture of the ATF because he put that a leader in, right? So he wants the whole organization to act like the leader. A guy who was involved in Waco. We still haven't figured out whether or not he was on the ground, but he was involved in Waco. So, and he also lied about two.
Right. Yeah. If you asked him, you wouldn't get the right answer anyway.
Yeah. It wouldn't matter. Yeah. So the bigger issue here is the same issue, that there's still this roaming band of criminal thugs who, if they want to get you, they will try to, and your state will not be able to protect you.
Right.
So that's the same issue as before.
Yeah, man, it's you have the potential to lower your risk, but not make it zero. Until there is complete secession of some sort, you know, or something like that.
But, yeah, right, where there will be a response from a state, which honestly, like a guy like Ron DeSantis would not be surprised if he was like telling his National Guard, block their entry, you know, in so that the president has to activate you and make a fucking send a message that he's a fascist.
Right. And that would be a nuclear option, I think. So the thing that I toss around in my head about Ron DeSantis is that do you think that he wants to be the president of Florida or the president of the United States? Because, you know,
I don't know, man. I don't know the guy well enough to say. We should ask a Floridian.
I certainly hope that the answer is he wants to be the president of Florida, because if he wants to be the president of the United States, that's going to temper his reactions to the federal government, you know, because if he's trying to run in 3 years now.
Yeah, you never know with these rats. You never know whether or not they really believe what they believe or if it's just for political clout. So I agree with you. Maybe he should just stay in Florida.
I think that would be ideal if he just said, actually, you know what? We're going to be the United State of Florida. And, you know, he's got,
you know, there's that whole idea. The big difference between the United States and the UK politically is the concept of representative versus delegate. In the UK, they have delegates. In the US, we have representatives. The whole difference being a representative is meant to be a thinking, autonomous individual who makes his own decisions, and the people vote him in so that he can make his own decisions. In the UK, they have delegates, and the entire idea of a delegate is that he is simply a receiver for the opinions from the public. And the big difference between the two types of people who are politicians is that motivation. Whether they decide they think they could be the guy who's the hero who can make all the decisions for himself, or the guy who is just a receiver for information depending on who his electorate is. And normally, I really do prefer the latter of the two, because I'll move to Florida. You know what I mean? Like, I'll shuffle myself. You don't need to move or make decisions. I'll shuffle. Mm-hmm. That's the free market approach, right? Is we'll do the nodes will realign themselves. Mm-hmm. You could do what you need to do. We'll tell you what to do. I don't need you making your own decisions. And that, I hope, is Ron DeSantis's way of looking at politics in a delegatory sense, because then he would never want to go to the larger United States federal government. He's fine. He's got an easy job. We're all Floridians, pretty much seem to agree mostly. I mean, the only people who I see disagreeing in Florida are like very rabid mask people. That's it. That's it. Everyone else seems to be like okay on most of the things he's doing.
No doubt. He's certainly accumulated a lot of political clout.
Florida is looking like a great place to live, and it's a real shame that our first studio, which was in Miami, was burned down by a group of communists.
Huge shame.
Really wild.
So, yeah, anyway, as this Cold War seems to just keep ramping up from one upsmanship on the part of the states, as one-upsmanship on the part of the federal government, and then the ultimate backstop of the technological time clock, you know, the shot clock, is that at some point they're going to have to face these technologies that were made to destroy them all, not just the feds, but also the states. Yeah. So you've got three different things on a collision course that, you know, at any time could kind of pop off. And so, you know, there's a popular quote from Lenin: there are decades where nothing happens, and there are weeks where decades happen. And I am the walrus. Vladimir Ilyich.
I'm glad you picked that one up. Good.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. Oh, they posted the standings. I can't help but wonder if we continue on this course, when things will come to head and somebody somewhere will exercise some sort of nuclear option, whatever that nuclear option may be, whether it's pulling federal funding from Arizona, whether it's Ron DeSantis forcing the feds to call up the National Guard. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Or maybe it fizzles out. Who knows? I'm
thinking fizzle.
You think fizzle?
If that's your take, my take is, maybe this is because I've had to read a lot of Marx lately, but I'm in on withering away. Like, I think the technology that you said replaces the systems that they have. And so kind of one by one, it seems like the bricks will come tumbling out. And maybe there's one brick that makes all of them tumble. And that right. could be the economy. I don't know. I'm not a Marxist. I don't think the economy is the center of everything. Some people do. Maybe it is the economy. Maybe that tumbles. But at some point, enough things are going to tumble where the current system is rendered irrelevant. I don't know if that brings us to a stateless, post-scarce communist society. It probably doesn't. There's probably going to still be some sort of authority that somewhere. But it's definitely, I think, you're going to see a fizzle out and not a war. I don't think anyone has any energy for war. I think, like you illustrated very clearly, they're being faced on several fronts with fatal flaws that they mm-hmm. cannot, like we, to say like a human cannot trick death. You're going to die. No matter what you do, you're going to die. States are going to die. And this might be where the state dies. It can't be, you know, throughout history, people saw their own states die while they were still in them. If you were alive in the 80s, well, cognizant at least, you saw the Soviet Union die and break yep. apart. It yep. didn't change. It died. The Republic of Russia is a different thing. It died. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we could be seeing that. I think it's quite likely that we're seeing that. And I just think it's going to be a slow pullout process unless the technology that comes to fruition first happens to be some sort of central thing, but I don't know what that is, but I think it's a fizzle.
Yep. I tend to agree with you, but I wonder how quick that fizzle will be. And sometimes, you know, like that quote says, well, yeah. I wouldn't be okay. surprised if, you know, in September we're a unified nation. And by January and I'm not saying this year, but just in that kind of time frame, all yeah. of a sudden, maybe even except for, in name, we have almost entirely separated legally.
And that will happen first, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, there will be a United States in name, a nominative United States long after there was a functional yep. one.
I agree. But yeah. Well, folks, there's your almost hour-long 30-minute episode.
Nice.
So, Bird, thanks for joining me on here. It's good to get you out of the cave and onto the show. You invited me into your cave, so to speak, a couple months ago, and so appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for not making a weird comment about the smell, by the way. Mm, everyone yeah. thinks it's funny to make a comment about the smell. It's not funny to make a comment about the smell.
Respect the cave.
Yeah, just yeah.
All right, until next month, esquite it.
Wow.